Lesson 9. The Children of the Bounty. Many people dream of living on a remote tropical island where there are no cars and no crime. For the people of Pitcairn Island, this dream is their reality. Until 1789, Pitcairn was uninhabited. In that year, Fletcher Christian, together with 8 other mutineers from the Bounty and 18 Tahitians, arrived at and settled on this tiny island in the South Pacific. By the late 1800s, the island's population had grown to over 200. Today, the number has dwindled to fewer than 50. However, the island's governing council is not greatly concerned about the declining population. It receives thousands of queries from people all over the world who would like to live there. Nevertheless, it rarely issues the official entry document called License to Land because Pitcairners have no wish to be swamped by an influx of new residents. Life on Pitcairn is easygoing. The inhabitants enjoy balmy weather all year round, and the island has plenty of water. Sweet potatoes, melons, bananas, and coffee are among the crops grown in its fertile soil. The older inhabitants spend most of their time fishing, growing vegetables, and making wooden carvings and woven baskets. Because life changes little from day to day, visits from ships passing by on their way from the Panama Canal to New Zealand are eagerly awaited. The island's steep cliffs and lack of harbors make it impossible for ships to come to land, so they must anchor about a mile offshore. Islanders congregate at the town landing in Adamstown, the island's only town, when a ship arrives to watch the launching of the 40-foot longboat that goes out to meet it to replenish supplies and to sell mementos. During rough weather, when the boat is pitching wildly, those on board have a formidable task getting from the longboat to the deck of the ship by rope ladder. Only the most agile attempt it. The crews on these passing ships are eager to buy the carvings and baskets made by the islanders. An intricately carved replica of the Bounty, a popular item, can sell for several hundred dollars or more, depending on the skill of the carver. The ship's visits are sporadic, with weeks or even months going by without one. For this reason, the Pitcairners take advantage of these visits to trade fish, fruits and vegetables for canned goods and staples, such as flour and sugar, that they cannot provide for themselves. Everything obtained from passing ships is allotted equally among the island's families. In this way, no one lacks the necessities. This tropical paradise, however, is not for everyone. Young people often feel frustrated by the lack of opportunity. Many of them wish to exchange what they regard as the humdrum existence on the island for what they believe will be more exciting lives in the outside world. Not only do they find limitations in jobs unappealing, but they also complain that life on Pitcairn offers few diversions. Dancing is forbidden, and there is no television. Any display of affection, such as holding hands in public, is regarded as unseemly by the island's ruling council, which has passed laws banning such behavior. While many young people leave, some return later, unable to cope with the tumult of the modern world. Pitcairn, a volcanic speck of rock less than 2 square miles in area and inhabited by only 9 families, has a fascination for the outside world out of all proportion to its size. It has been the subject of no fewer than 2,500 books and articles. One reason, of course, is obvious: its dramatic past. A past that began on an April morning in 1789, when Captain Bligh was rudely awakened to discover that Fletcher Christian, abetted by mutinous crew members, had seized control of the Bounty.